Rod's Pulse Podcast, number 10, Electronic Portfolios. Hello, I'm Rod Murray, and this is Rod's Pulse Podcast. Well, welcome back, everyone. Today, my topic is electronic portfolios, or e-portfolios. I won't be doing all the talking. I'm going to let others who know a bit more about e-portfolios do the talking. I'll be introducing you to other podcasts and podcasters who have experience in the e-portfolio realm. If this is your first time listening to my podcast, I will mention that it really serves two purposes. One is to help faculty and students learn how to use and create their own podcasts and use this new podcasting medium to spread the word about other e-learning technologies, especially those that complement our Blackboard learning management system. Of course, the ultimate goal is to improve the learning experience for our students. First, some news and notes. As always, I wanted to mention that the source content I'll be using and talking about, the links to those pieces will be in my show notes or my blog. And I've created a new, easier to remember URL. It's now www.rodspulsepodcast.com. That's one word, Rod's Pulse Podcast, no apostrophe. My podcast recently received a nice plug in the Jeff Lyon Forum. That's a very well-produced electronic newsletter here from our own library at Jefferson. The article is entitled Keeping Up With Your Eyes Closed, Health and Science Podcasting, and this was done by Margie Grassberger. Margie is the manager of information services, the information services department here at the Scott Memorial Library, and I encourage you to take a look at the article. It lists some interesting podcasts that are now available with medical topics from Access Medicine, Nature, New England Journal of Medicine, Sound Practice, Profile America. So she gives a nice description of podcasting and how you can go about it. So I encourage you to visit my blog and click on the link to the Jeff Lyon Forum article. So now on today's topic, introducing electronic portfolios. First of all, what is an electronic portfolio? Now, it can be many things to different people, and just give you a brief list of what it can do. For students, first, it's a way to showcase achievements. They can collect and reflect on their work, share educational and work experience. They can create dynamic resumes. They can use it to create a plan of study and work online with their advisor or their mentor. For faculty, faculty can use e-portfolios to create joint projects with other instructors, to comment on and score students' work online, to create teaching or promotional portfolios, and to showcase their achievements. Now, for institutions, there's also something for the institution. They can use it to collect student work for outcomes assessment, select work randomly and anonymously, use scoring rubrics, generate reports, export raw data for further analysis. So it can be many things. I in doing a search, I found a very excellent brief article. I think it's about 5 pages. It's called The Electronic Portfolio Boom, What's It All About? It's by Trent Bateson from the University of Rhode Island. So just going to go there now just to tell you a little bit about the article. There's it's a 5-page PDF. You can go to my blog and click on it to download the whole thing, but it gives a very nice summary of what e-portfolios are all about, either being used for evaluation or assessment, accreditation. He notes that software developers now have adopted e-portfolios, and there are a lot of them on the market. And these software platforms are designed to accept the full range of types of content, text, graphics, video, audio, photos, animation. Of course, if you're like me, you've probably heard about portfolios, I should say, in terms of an art student collecting their portfolio. Well, this is sort of the modern day equivalent of that, except for a much larger audience than just art students. So students seem most interested in the ways e-portfolios can flesh out their resumes, both before and after graduation, whereas faculty members have a vested interest in electronic portfolios because they can use it as a tool to build their own resume and provide teaching data in their for their promotion and tenure reviews. So take a look at that. It's a very nice, concise description of e-portfolios. Now what I'd like to do is play a couple of audio clips. Now, these are included in my podcast with permission. By the way, I'm going to be covering issues around permissions, copyright, Creative Commons licensing in one of my upcoming podcasts, so stay tuned for that. Now, the first one I'm going to play is a brief clip from a podcast called New Designs in Learning. The full podcast takes about 28 minutes. I'm just going to be playing a short clip from it. And it happens to be an interview with Dr. Randall Bass. He's from Georgetown University. I found the link to this audio file on the Georgetown University website under University Webcast. So it goes to show you also how universities can use these kinds of technologies to promote what they're doing at the institution. So it's called New Designs in Learning, an interview with Randall Bass. He's Associate Professor in the Department of English and Executive Director of the Center for New Designs in Learning and Scholarship. So here's what he has to say about e-portfolios, especially with regard to students.
If you were going to pick an area for a new design in basic learning, what could it be?
Well, when I think about the faculty projects that I've worked with, and I've worked with hundreds over the last 10 years or so across the country, I think that there's a family of projects that have been very powerful, that come together in something that I would call an electronic portfolio. People use that term in a lot of different ways, and in some ways it can be very... they're not yet that advanced. But the concept of an electronic portfolio is that students would be able to collect their work as they move through their education and make it public, sort through it, annotate it in ways that they cannot do now. Now, when students, say, come to college, they tend to experience every course as separate. Every course is its own 14-week experience. Every semester ends and a new semester begins. The work that they did in one semester is left behind as they move on to the next. If they go abroad or if they do work off campus or if they have an internship or they have work experience, that's very separate from their coursework. The concept of an electronic portfolio is to have some kind of a common container that students can use to pull together all of their different educational experiences and to make use of it so that 2 years from now I'm reaching back to something I did in an earlier course and repurposing it and learning from it and rediscovering what it was that I once knew and bringing all that together. I think as electronic portfolio technology becomes very seamlessly integrated in our environment, students will be able to rethink what it means to have an education, be able to think more intentionally about how a four-year education gets shaped.
So there we have it. It's just a little teaser. I encourage you to go to the blog and click on the link and listen to the full 28-minute presentation. The second one I would like to play for you is called Digital ePortfolios and Learning. I found this on the EDUCAUSE website. EDUCAUSE has a wealth of information about e-portfolios and other e-learning technology, so I encourage you to visit their site. This one is, as I mentioned, is Digital e-portfolios and Learning, from Mosaic to Kaleidoscope, from Static to Dynamic. It was presented at the EDUCAUSE 2005 meeting in Orlando, Florida. And the speaker, the main speaker, is Linda Ailey, who's the professor of computer science at Alverno College. So let's hear, again, a little teaser about what Linda has to say.
The following 50-minute recording is from the 2005 EDUCAUSE Annual Conference Session entitled digital e-portfolios and learning, from mosaic to kaleidoscope, from static to dynamic. For more information about EDUCAUSE, visit our website at www.educause.edu.
Today we're going to hear from Dr. Linda Eli from Alberto College, where she is an associate professor of computer science. She's currently the Diagnostic Digital Portfolio System Administrator, Computer and Information Literacy Webmaster, and member of the Council for Student Assessment and the Technology Steering Committee at Alberto. Linda?
Thank you.
I think now there's about 12 different ways of categorizing e-portfolios, digital portfolios. To me, this is the way that's the simplest and makes the most sense. It's by who is the main focus of the portfolio. There's all kinds of different faculty portfolios. I know at the roundtable and a couple of the other sessions, we listened to folks talk about their faculty-based portfolios that were developments of their teaching. So there's those kinds of portfolios. And then at the bottom is the real portfolio that we're focusing in on today. The DDP, our Diagnostic Digital Portfolio, is a student portfolio. As a matter of fact, it's a student learning portfolio.
So there we go, another teaser. Again, it's beyond the scope of this podcast to go into a lot of detail here, but I hope I've intrigued you and you'll listen to the full 50-minute podcast. One of the advantages of podcasting is that you don't have to listen to all 50 minutes at one time. That is a bit much, so you can always stop it and continue where you left off. Anyway, I encourage you to listen to that podcast as well. So finally, I'd like to give another plug for the Blackboard content system and its ePortfolio features. I talked about this in one of my previous podcasts. I interviewed Peter Van Tienen, who's the Director of Solutions Engineering at Blackboard. And we don't have the content system here yet at Jefferson, but we hope to have it in the near future. So just as a refresher, let me play what Peter Van Tienen discussed about, first about students and their ePortfolio use.
One of the powerful areas of the content system can use our ePortfolio application. And that means that they can now create a portfolio that may be their resume for a job, that may be a portfolio for a particular project, may be recommended readings for a course in the library. And they can, through a wizard, create a portfolio that is pulling all of the documents that they have within the content system plus others.
So again, a brief teaser about what Blackboard can do. Let's not forget faculty. How would faculty use ePortfolios in our Blackboard content system?
One of the common uses of our ePortfolio engine is to share research. And so as a faculty member, I'll create a portfolio that is my research and all of my my documents associated, and I can create what's called a pass externally to that ePortfolio. And so once I create the pass, then I can email that pass to any of my colleagues. They can click on the link. There can be an additional password if you as a faculty want to add that. And then it opens up the ePortfolio locally on that other user's machine. They don't have to have an account on your system. They don't have to have security. It only opens up the ePortfolio.
So thank you, Peter, again for that little review. And last but not least, I have a link on my blog to a screencast. Now, what this shows is somebody actually going in and clicking around in a Blackboard system that's running the content system and shows how ePortfolios might be used. So, and to read off their first screen there, it just says that this tutorial provides an overview on electronic portfolios which enable students and faculty members to assemble, present, and share information online for documenting academic growth, career evaluation, and course preparation. So I invite you to go and take a look at that. So that about does it for today's program. I want to thank you for listening. Again, my goal is to raise the awareness of faculty, staff, and students about how we can extend our Blackboard course management system to include the latest e-learning technologies. Don't forget to leave comments. You can go to my blog, www.rodspulsepodcast.com, or send feedback to my email account, rodney.murray@jefferson.edu. So until next time, have a great week.